and welcome to the Percussive Maintenance Podcast. I'm Herb Warple, Editor-in-Chief of Engineered Systems and host of the show. Thanks for pressing play and for giving us a few minutes of your valuable time today. Recently, the Institute for Market Transformation, an organization devoted to identifying the challenges that prevent people from embracing energy efficiency, has assumed leadership of the Energy Efficient Codes Coalition. In this episode of the podcast, we'll sit down with Amy Boyce, Associate Director of Codes and Technical Strategy with IMT, to further discuss this news, examine what the future holds for the EECC, and much more. Amy, welcome aboard. Could you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Hi, my name is Amy Boyce. I am the Associate Director of Codes and Technical Strategy for the Institute for Market Transformation, and I also serve as the Executive Director of the Energy Efficient Codes Coalition.
Amy, strange times plague our country right now as we're several months deep into this COVID-19 pandemic. Can you update us as to how IMT is handling this pandemic and what impact it's had on you personally and professionally?
So IMT is really, we're not just focused on energy efficiency or high performance buildings, but really how buildings serve people. IMT staff, so we've been reaching out to city governments and commercial real estate professionals, just trying to understand what challenges they're facing and what kind of building solutions might be most beneficial for them. So what we found is that a lot of the initiatives we're already working on, like green leases, are more important now than even before, because they will reduce operating costs and just also increase property value. And it's especially important in time when, you know, there's a lot of financial constraints and then the potentially increasing tenant competition. We're also really investing time in rethinking the future of high-performance buildings. We're asking questions like, how can we gather and interpret information to help those we work with to make better decisions regarding returning to the workplace? What are the right decisions for our own employees? You know, that's a big thing, especially, you know, the responsibility of what we work in and how that will be impacted. And then, you know, what are, you know, how can we use this crisis to fundamentally shift the positive impact buildings have, you know, on how we live and work and play and all of those things. You know, we're using buildings in different ways now, and that's really going to be important in our decisions in the future. And then, how do we use this momentum also to fast-track building-related emissions reductions? That's also critical, and it hasn't gone away with what's been going on in the world.
Busy times for IMT as well. I know you guys recently made headlines by assuming leadership of the Energy Efficient Codes Coalition. Can you share some background on the EECC and its role in the built environment?
Yeah, so 12 years ago, EECC was formed as a project under the Alliance of Save Energy. The intention was to help government officials, those whose votes produce the International Energy Conservation Code, or the IECC, to achieve greater efficiency gains. EEC's strength really is bringing together a bunch of varied groups, governments, nonprofits, business, academia, to accomplish the singular goal of increasing energy efficiency in the code. So shortly after forming, EECC was really successful in garnering support to pass a greater than 30% increase in efficiency requirements, which was spread over the 2009 and 2012 code cycles. And so that's a huge accomplishment and was a great success for them. You know, in many cities, buildings make up the majority of energy use. So increasing building energy efficiency is really vital to achieving decarbonization overall.
Are there any other accomplishments you care to mention? I mean, those are big ones, but I want to give you the mic here, so.
Right. Well, you know, after those early gains, there were opponents, and they helped raise some hurdles that would, to achieve any official gains in the next, to achieve efficiency gains in the next two cycles. However, this last code cycle was really successful, which is for developing the 2021 IECC, which will be coming out hopefully later this year. So the efforts of the EECC were able to reach a record number of ICC governmental members and convince them to take part in the voting process. Bill Fay, who is our coalition director, and the remaining and rest of the team at the Alliance did an amazing job. They had a basically a get out the vote campaign. They educated potential voters about how building efficiency gains can meet their energy and economic security and climate policy goals. So they signed up with the IECC and cast their votes for a 2021 IECC that should be more than 10% efficient than the previous version.
Wow, that's incredible. As IMT also takes over the captain's chair here at EECC, can you lay out some of the changes that we may see?
Sure. EEC's values and principles won't change, but we will be looking to broaden our scope a bit. So efficiency will definitely remain core to our work, but we recognize that ideas like electrification and grid interactivity are really important to achieving net zero construction. Our focus will be on the value of combining these things, combining efficiency with electrification, renewable energy, and grid interactivity. A colleague of mine, Jake Duncan, just finished a blog series that explains why we need to tackle all of this in a systemic way, because it essentially allows decarbonization to happen faster and at a lower cost than if we just did these all independently.
Great. Now, as you mentioned before, the work of the EECC has focused sharply on the evolution of the IECC. Can you share some of the work that's currently being done as the IECC wraps up its 2021 update?
Right now, many of the proposals that were passed via the online voting process are under appeal by those looking to minimize changes to the current code. The ICC, though, has already independently verified that all processes and procedures have been followed in the voting process, so we're confident that these important measures and the historic voter turnout will be upheld by the appeals board, which will clear the inclusion of these measures in the new version of the IECC 2021 version. But this also ties into one of our biggest near-term initiatives, which is supporting the adoption of the code. With the numerous connections made during this cycle, we're really hoping to keep working with these governmental members so that the code they voted for can become the actual code that's used in their jurisdictions. The adoption process can be slow, and the design and construction cycle can last years. So it's really important that we're able to implement these changes as soon as possible in order to maximize impact.
Great. Now, outside of the IECC, are there any other upcoming code updates that IMT is focused on or will be focused on?
So not so much on codes, but IMT is really focused on working with cities to roll out building performance standards. Energy codes are really vital to creating efficient buildings, but they only cover new construction and major renovations. Building performance standards are designed to make sure that the existing built environment is high-performing as well. One of the concepts we'll be working on in the near future is how codes and building performance standards intersect. For example, how do we make sure that a building constructed to the current code in a given jurisdiction can meet the BPS requirements? So we want to figure out how to set these new buildings and new construction up for success so they can perform over their lifetime.
Now, the EECC lists a number of supporters across various industries on its website. There's a lot of love there, including the Alliance to Save Energy, which was one of the founders of the organization. Can you tell us the role that ASE currently plays, or does it currently play a role in the EECC, and tell us a little bit more about some of the supporters?
Great. So the transition from ASE to IMT was made so much easier with the support from the Alliance team. We here at IMT and EECC really owe them a huge thanks. So the Alliance does continue to be a part of the team, and they contribute time and ideas along with many of the supporters that you referenced. We're really lucky to be in contact with such a range of perspectives and expertise that support our efforts, and it's really what has allowed us to be successful so far.
Great. Now, this is a fairly broad question here, but what does the future hold now that you guys are taking over?
Well, together, we have the efforts that we'll be trying to get adoption out there for the 2021 IECC. And then soon, in 2022, will be when we start looking at the 2024 IECC. So it's a pretty quick process that really gives us no breaks. And so we'll be looking at some of those concepts and what to do and what really holds the future holds for the code. As we mentioned, we're looking at energy efficiency overall, and then how it works with electrification, grid interactivity, renewables, and long-term building performance. So we have a lot of momentum behind us right now, and with these recent successes and these new contexts, so we really want to make sure that we capitalize that so that we can, you know, further boost efficiency and performance in the built environment.
Amy, we've covered quite a bit here in this short time, but is there anything else you want to mention to our listeners or viewers?
Well, we're just really excited to be joined by such a great organization. EECC has done a truly amazing work in the past, and we think that this move will only strengthen both IMT and EECC going forward.
Amy, if listeners are interested in connecting with you or the IMT or the EECC, where should they turn?
So the best place would be to go to either website. For EECC's website is energyefficientcodes.org, and IMT is imt.org. Both have a lot of up-to-date information and also provide opportunities where you can sign up to get further information going forward via email.
Well, Amy, thank you so much for providing this update to our listeners and viewers, and we hope to talk to you soon. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Well, that wraps up our interview with Amy Boyce. And as she noted, if you're interested in connecting with the IMT, visit www.imt.org. The Percussive Maintenance Podcast is now available on iTunes. Be sure to bookmark us on your favorite listening device so that you can enjoy all past and future episodes of the show. We appreciate your continued support. And remember, if you can't fix it with your brain, you can always rely on a swift kick. We'll see you next time.